Years ago, a young man got up to preach at the Bible school there. They let the older classmen preach every once in a while. And, oh, he was excited. I mean, he was jumping up and down behind the pulpit. He is slinging his arms. The trouble was, about every second word was a filler. It was glory, hallelujah, amen, glory. I mean, and when he got through, Brother Branham got up and he said, "Now, I'll tell you what, it's a great thing to get excited when you preach, but it's even better when you have something to say while you're getting excited." It's when we dig into the word that we get the stuff that we can get excited about. Can you say amen? It's the substance. And I appreciate those that are hungry for God's word. Let's pause and pray before we begin our Bible study tonight. Father, we thank you for truth. We thank you for that you've revealed to us that we could have never known had you not revealed it. Thank you for those that have a love of truth, not moved by every wind of doctrine, but Lord, who are settled on knowing your truth. Holy Spirit, make Jesus real through the teaching. Make Jesus near through the teaching tonight. In Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. We're in our study of apologetics. And I had this on the tail end last time and then began to really make an appeal to come and pray and didn't get with it. I just want to note this before we get started. Sometimes you might have follow-up questions. We really don't have the format in this setting where I can just open the floor for questions. And so someone just a week or two ago followed up with a question that came about as we did our study. If you do, please just email me. I would love to try to discuss that question with you. And then if you'd like to make a comment, you can, again, email those, and maybe some of those we could even put in the bulletin or on the wall, and just a kind of an opportunity to interact with what we're talking about. I do believe this is so important in our world that we live in today, and if you attempt to witness to folks today, you'll discover that this is important. They want answers to questions. And so that's why we're doing this Bible study on apologetics. We're trying to give the reason of our hope to those that ask. We're talking about the why of what we believe, and our theme scripture is from Peter, "Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." The question tonight is this: is the historical Jesus really God? Now, I wanted to put the word historical in there because Jesus is not a myth or legend. He is by history verified as a real person who lived in the time and space of earth. So the question is this historical Jesus really God? How many knows that we're living in unique times? You can't even go and hear a clerk say anymore when you check out in the Christmas season. You can't hear her say or him say Merry Christmas. They're forbidden to say it. I begin to read some blogs where even in this Christmas season, parents are saying their children are coming home from school saying that they have been instructed by teachers or principals that they're not to be saying Merry Christmas at school. Displays of nativity scenes have been prohibited in any type of public forum. Now, when you see all this, it is evident that there is an adamant, passionate attack to excise anything with the name of Jesus in it. You know, you can get involved in any other kind of religion, mention any other names related to those, and there's not too many folks that get upset. But when you begin to mention the name of Jesus, folks really begin to take exception. We're going to deal with tonight, why do they get so upset at the name of Jesus? I mean, we just came through a few months back, the graduation season, and now they won't even let students in many, many school districts, they won't let there be any prayers with the name of Jesus in it at commencements. And on and on and on, we could give the illustration. We're living in a society that it's okay to believe in God, but not in Jesus. God becomes an idea, philosophy, but not Jesus. Why are folks so upset about Jesus? Book after book has been written to try to refute that Jesus is God. Every false doctrine attacks this belief. You can take any false religion, and I'll tell you that at the bottom of that, they will deny that Jesus is God. And that is why folks get so upset. They're so anti-Jesus. It's because this man, Jesus, claimed to be God. I want you to think about it. A carpenter claimed to be Creator God. A carpenter. Can you imagine? Knowing that a poor, and this is in the eyes of the world, a poor, I'm talking about money-wise, uneducated human claimed to be God. Amen. We're in this season of the nativity. But I want you to think about it. This one that had been a baby, and I don't mean to be crude here, I just want to make a point. This one who had been a baby, who soiled his diaper, who received his sustenance from nursing from his mother, this one who for a period of time couldn't chew his own food, couldn't say a word, we believe that that baby was God. Think about it. And that is why folks get so adamant against Jesus, because his claim is, and our claim is, that someone that breathed air, ate food, and occasionally needed a bath was in fact God himself. And that stirs people up. You see, Jesus claimed to be God. He claimed to be deity. And it isn't that we believe in Jesus that infuriates and disturbs so many. Lots of people believe in Jesus. How many knows the Muslims believe in Jesus? Jews believe in Jesus. Jehovah's Witnesses believe in Jesus. Mormons believe in Jesus. We could go on and on. Buddhists believe in Jesus. It's not that we believe in Jesus. It is in who we believe Jesus is. A lot of folks say, oh yeah, I believe in Jesus. But we believe he's more than a teacher. He's more than a prophet. He's more than a spiritual guru. He is God himself. Can you say amen? Jesus knew that this was the all-crucial issue. Jesus knew this. I want to take you to some scriptures. Jesus knew the issue was, who is he? Let me take you to some scriptures here. This is at Caesarea Philippi. Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now, they knew his name, Jesus of Nazareth. But the question is, who is Jesus of Nazareth? And I want to tell you, that's still the question. Whom do men say that Jesus is? Someone can say, well, I believe in Jesus. Great. Who is he? Who is he that you believe in? And so Jesus said, here's the question, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Now he started out with, whom do men say that I am? But then he turns and he looks them in the eye. He says, let's get a little closer to home. Whom do you say that I am? See, that's the crucial issue. It's not just saying Jesus, it's who is Jesus? Who do you say that he is? It'll make the difference in your life and eternity how you answer that question. Who is Jesus? And Simon Peter answered, thou art the anointed one. Thou art the Christ. That's great, but he's still not quite there. But then he goes on and Peter says, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. He tweaked your heart. He moved in your mind. He stirred your spirit. And the light came on, and you saw that that's more than a carpenter sitting there asking the question. You, Peter, saw that that was the Son of God, deity, God himself. Who is Jesus? You see, when this happened, Jesus never rebuked Peter. And here's the problem. If Jesus really wasn't God, he should have corrected Peter and rebuked him and said, "Oh, don't talk like that, Peter. I'm the son of Joseph. I'm just another human like you are." If it wasn't true, he should have rebuked Peter. But he never rebuked Peter. He wasn't even shocked at what Peter said, who Peter said he was. In fact, he commended Peter. He said, "You're blessed, and I say also unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock," not Peter, but on that statement, Jesus is the Son of God. That's the rock. Who Jesus is the rock of the church. The church is not built on Jesus the prophet. It's not built on Jesus the teacher. It's not built on Jesus the philosophy. The church is built on the rock that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Amen. And he doesn't rebuke Peter. He commended Peter on getting it right. Jesus began to make shocking claims about who he was as he walked this earth and he taught. Jesus made who he was the focal point of his ministry and teaching. You read the Gospel of John, you see it in particular. "He that has seen me has seen the Father. I and my Father are one." On and on, Jesus made who he was the center and the focus of his teaching. I've heard some people, they've told me this. I remember corresponding with someone that doesn't believe Jesus is God. And this individual said, "Well, just because Jesus called himself..." Now, this is crucial. Get this. Here was their contention. "Just because Jesus said he was a son of God doesn't mean he was claiming to be God." Now, some of you might have already been thinking that to be the son of God isn't the same thing as being God. And that's what this person wrote to me. Well, here's the point. The point is, 2,000 years ago, when those that heard Jesus say he was the Son of God, they understood him to be saying, "I'm God." Who are we 2,000 years later to say, "Well, just because he said he was the Son of God doesn't mean he was God"? Who are we when 2,000 years ago, when those words first came out of his mouth, those that heard him say, "I am the Son of God," what they heard and what they understood was Jesus was saying, "I am God"? I've been debating the whole time whether to even get into this, so I'll just briefly touch on it. We've got to understand something. Sometimes God is used as a name. We say God, we're calling his name. Sometimes God is used as a function. Who is the Almighty One? Who is the controlling one? He's God. Sometimes God is used as a nature. I'm God and not man. I have a different nature. And I like to use that as an illustration myself as a pastor. Sometimes you use pastor as a name. You say, "Hey, pastor," you're using that as a name. Sometimes you use that as a function. You say, "Brother Hurst, pastors, Union Road." You're using that as a function. But sometimes, hopefully, I would love for you to, you'd use it as a nature. You'd say, "Our Brother Hurst is a true pastor." That means he has that nature of a pastor. That would be a great commendation. And so when we say Jesus is God, we're not talking about his name here. We're talking about his nature. He has God. He is deity. He has the nature of God. Now, I want to go back to that thing because it's all important. We can say because he said he's the Son of God, he wasn't saying he was God, but that's not what those that heard him understood. Let's look at the scripture. His original hearers got it. To be the Son of God meant he was God. Jesus answered them, "My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said also that God was his Father. Read the last phrase with me. Said also that God was his Father, making himself equal or the same with God. When he said, "I'm the Son of God," praise the Lord. Don't be so hard on the mic. When he said, "I am the Son of God," what they heard was he was saying, "I am God." And then in another scripture, Jesus said, "I and my Father are one." Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him because he said that. Jesus answered them, "Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do you stone me?" The Jews answered him, saying, "For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, maketh thyself God." We could debate this years later, but in history, when they heard Jesus teach, they understood that he was telling them he was God. You, being a man, makest thyself God. Praise the Lord. Jesus even admitted it when he was asked. This is at his trial. He held his peace, answering nothing. Again the high priest asked him and said unto him, "Art thou the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" One explanation here. This is the book of Matthew, or Mark, book of Mark. And many times in Matthew and Mark, they didn't use the name of God. It's called a circumlocution. I don't want to bore you there. But they didn't just want to use God's name all the time, so they would use a replacement word. And that's what it means here. The Son of the Blessed literally means the Son of God. Art thou the Christ, the Son of God? What did Jesus say? And Jesus said, "I am. I am." We're about to get to something else that confuses folks. The high priest said, "What? Art thou the Son of the Blessed? Art thou the Son of God?" Jesus said, "I am Son of God, and ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power, coming in the clouds of heaven." Wait a minute. Are you the Son of God? Yes, I am. And you're going to see me, the Son of Man. Now, you see, that really got him riled up. Some say, "Well, wait a minute, he's not the Son of God. He just said he's the Son of Man." But when he said he was the Son of Man, this got the Jews riled up too. Why? Notice something real important here. He never said, "I am a Son of Man. I'm just another Son of Man." What did he say? He said, "I am the Son of Man." Why did that get the Jews so incensed? Because they knew what he was talking about. It had been prophesied that the Son of Man was going to come. Look what it says here. "I saw in night visions." This is Daniel. This is Old Testament. "I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him, and there was given him dominion and glory and a kingdom that all people and nations and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed." The Jews knew exactly what Jesus meant by the Son of Man. The high priest said, "Art thou the Son of God?" "Yes," Jesus said, "and not only am I the Son of God, I am that the Son of Man that Daniel talked about, the one sent by the Ancient of Days, the one that's given the kingdom, that one that's going to have an everlasting domain, the one that's going to rule and reign. I am that Son of Man who is the Son of God." And besides all of that, could I say he was God 100%, but at the same time, he was human, he was man 100%. Great is that mystery, that God, the Word, became flesh and dwelt amongst us. Son of God, Son of Man. Hallelujah. And Jesus said, "I'm the Son of Man." The high priest rent his clothes. That so incensed him. Not only did Jesus admit he's the Son of God, he claimed to be the coming Son of Man, the everlasting King and ruler. And the high priest rent his clothes and said, "What need we of further witnesses? You have heard the blasphemy. What think ye?" And they all condemned him to be guilty of death. The same reason they became incensed at Jesus those long ago days when he lived on earth is the same reason they're incensed by Jesus today. If Jesus was just, if we just claimed Jesus was another teacher, prophet, man, they'd be okay. But we believe he's more than that. We believe he's the Son of God, the blessed Son of God. Isn't he worthy? He's worthy of all praise. Now, here's the whole point. We're going to bring it all together. Jesus claimed to be God. Now, I know this subject is so deep and so wide that we're just going to be covering just a little segment of it. So I'm going to begin to bring it together. Jesus claimed to be God. Since he made that claim, one of four things has to be true. Now, this is what I'd like for you to get, because when you talk to people, you need to share this with them. Jesus, without doubt, claimed to be the Son of God. And if he claimed to be the Son of God, there's only four possible things that can be true. Now, you're going to know this isn't original with me. There's several other apologists, C.S. Lewis, another guy I'm trying to think of him, Josh McDowell, several others that have used this little schematic, because these are the only four possibilities. Okay, let's do this. If Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, then one thing that could be true was that Jesus was a liar. Wouldn't that be true if he claimed to be the Son of God and he wasn't? Wouldn't he be a liar? How many's ready to say our Lord was a liar? And you know what the fact of the matter is? When the world, the unbelievers pressed, they're not so willing to say Jesus was a liar either. He claimed to be the Son of God. If he wasn't, he simply lied. He was a liar. But see, even those who do not believe Jesus is God, if they know anything about his teaching, if they've ever read or heard his teaching, they have to concede that Jesus was a great moral teacher and example. Isn't that the only conclusion you can come up with from his teaching? Jesus and his life, Jesus was the most moral man that ever lived. But the trouble is, the moral man, the great moral teacher, said, "I am God." Here's the thing. You can't be a great moral teacher and also be a liar. And so you're talking to someone that's a skeptic, and you say to them, "I believe Jesus is God." And they say, "No, he's not God." And so you look at him and say, "Well, do you believe he was a liar?" "Oh, no, I don't believe Jesus is a liar. He was the greatest moral teacher that ever walked the earth. He had the greatest life example of morality." Well, listen, friend, you can't have it both ways. If he was a great moral person and a great moral teacher, he couldn't have been a liar. Right? And if he wasn't a liar, then what he claimed is true. He was God. He was God. To say he lied when he said he was God is to call in question everything else he said and he taught. Well, there's a second possibility. Jesus claimed to be the Son of God, to be God. If he wasn't a liar, maybe he was a lunatic. What this says is simply this. Yeah, he claimed to be God. He believed he was God. He wasn't. He thought he was. He's just deluded. He had mental problems. He was a lunatic. Here's the problem with that. There's absolutely no evidence in the historical record of Jesus that he in any way exhibited any mental imbalance. No delusions. No abnormalities of a deranged person. I mean, have you ever noticed the calm Jesus had when they were mocking him and ridiculing him and hitting him with tough questions and knowing that they were bringing men to try to push him off a cliff or kill him? Did you ever notice the calm Christ had? Did you ever notice the cool answers that he gave? Did you ever notice how sharp he was in his answers? No person that's deluded, no lunatic. And I'm not making fun of folks that have mental problems. No way. I'm just saying, anyone that has mental problems, they do not have this kind of presence of mind and calmness. They cannot face adversity. They cannot face the questionings like Jesus did. Jesus exhibited no mental imbalance. He had the greatest presence of mind and composure in the face of great danger, stress, and pressures. That was the thing about Jesus. He wasn't a lunatic. He always was right there in the clearness of reality. If anybody knew what reality was, it was Jesus. If anyone spake to reality, it was Jesus. So was Jesus a liar when he said he was God? No. Was Jesus a lunatic when he said he was God? No. Well, they say, well, there's another option. Jesus isn't a liar. He's not a lunatic. He was a legend. It's a legend. What does that mean? Well, Jesus never said he was God, but his later followers try to say that he did. He never said it, but when they begin to write about Jesus, they begin to say, well, you know, Jesus claimed he was God. They made a myth up about Jesus. They made a fairy tale about Jesus claiming to be God. He never said it. They said he said it. Here's the problem with that. The claim is that Jesus' later followers put the words in Jesus' mouth and added the accounts of miracles that would indicate that Jesus was God. But the trouble with that is Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, those were written in the lifetime of the original followers and contemporaries of Christ. If you're going to make up a myth about something, you can't do it when the eyewitnesses are still alive. I mean, what would happen if somebody began to make up stories about Ronald Reagan? There are enough contemporaries, people that knew him, people that worked with him, family members, that would set the record straight in a hurry. But Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, you can read it in their account where Jesus said he was the Son of God. If he hadn't have said it, there had been a lot of folks that would have never accepted Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and said, "You're lying to us. Jesus never said that." So they couldn't have come up with a legend. If this were true, his disciples and many others died for a lie, knowing it was a lie. If Jesus never said he was God, but Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John and others, they begin to claim that he did, they would have known they were lying about Jesus. Why would they have died for a lie when they knew it was a lie? They died because they said Jesus was the Son of God. Well, he's not a liar, is he? And he's not a lunatic. And he's not a legend. That gives us one more option. Jesus was then and is now Lord. He is, and when I say Lord, I'm talking about God Almighty, the Lord of creation. He said he was God, and that's who he was. Jesus claimed to be God because he was. He said, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God." He was God. In his ministry, Jesus both claimed, but he also demonstrated that he was God. I'm going to do this quickly, but let me give you some ways Jesus demonstrated that he was God. Jesus was sinless. How many knows only God is sinless? Would anyone here feel like confident enough to raise your hand and say, "I've never sinned"? Anyone here? I'll wait just a minute and make sure. Maybe you're just a little nervous about lifting your hand. Only God is sinless. I've always marveled at this scripture. "Which of you convinceth me of sin?" He's not even talking to his friends. He's talking to his enemies. How he would feel comfortable tonight? Brother Brian, would you feel comfortable? I mean, folks know you pretty good around here. Would you feel comfortable coming up here and say, "Okay, folks, here I am. Can anybody think of anything about me that's not right, or any mistake I've ever made, or any fault? Or can you think anything about me that's not perfect? Go ahead, folks. Have at it. Go ahead, try it." Not me, Brian. Would anyone like to volunteer? Just let us have a go at it tonight. But Jesus stood in front of his enemies and said, "Which of you can find fault with me?" I'm telling you, if he wasn't God, that's a, or say something else, but that's a silly thing to say. But you know what? His enemies couldn't come up with even one thing. I'm telling you, you have to read this and say, that's no human. Not mere human. I mean, he's human, but he's also God. Because human sin. How many knows Jesus never sinned? He wasn't faking it. You know, some people say, "Well, he was just so holy, he never sinned." But I'm going to tell you, the testimony is with the rest of us humans, the closer we get to God, the more aware we are that we have sinned. How many knows that? You can say, "Well, they're really spiritual, they don't ever sin." I'm telling you what, if they were really spiritual, they'd be aware, increasingly aware of how much sin they did have. By the way, just in a side note, parenthetical thought, that's always to me from scripture and history, and I won't go into it, a sign of whether something's a true move of God or not. A lot of things have been called a revival, claimed to be a revival, claimed to be a move of God, but if there is no sense of sin, conviction of sin, it's not a move of God, because when people draw close to the Lord, they become aware of what's wrong with their life. But you don't get closer to the Lord than Jesus was to the Father. And he was aware that he had no sin. Why? Because he wasn't just human. He was God. For even hereunto were you called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin. Jesus did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Another scripture, for he hath made him to be sin, or the sin offering for us, who knew no sin. Jesus never sinned. That says to me he was God. Secondly, Jesus was perfect. This is almost the same thing, but it's not quite. By this I meant everything that he did was perfect. His personality was perfect. His temperament was perfect. His relation. Everything he spoke, you couldn't have said it any better. Everything he did, you couldn't have done it any better. Now, I know there's some prodigy folks, and they got a lot of talents, but there's no human that can do everything perfect. If Jesus had drawn a picture, it would have been perfect. If Jesus had written something down, it would have been perfect. Everything Jesus did was perfect. And then another way Jesus demonstrated he was God is he had the creator power over nature. He commanded the wind and the wave. A lot of people can claim a lot of things, but if they really think they're some spiritual giant, put them in front of a tornado and say, stop. Humans can't do that. But when the wind and the wave billowed up, Jesus spoke to the wind and wave and said, wave, lie down. Wind, stop. And it was calm. Why? He was the creator. When Jesus spoke to wind and wave, that was the voice of the creator. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this? This isn't a regular human being, because even the wind and sea obey him. Jesus also showed creator power by turning the water to wine. He turned one substance into another. No chemistry, no trickery. He just commanded it, and water became wine. He raised the dead. He multiplied the fish and the bread. No sleight of hand, no trickery. I like the way the Sunday school teachers used to say it. The head grew a tail and the tail grew a head every time he divided it. None of this was trickery. The trickery, there were eyewitnesses. And the eyewitnesses never claimed Jesus' miracles were anything but true miracles. I want you to notice that. Now, I've got to hurry, and I'm about done. But I've seen even Christian healers do miracles, and I'm a believer in miracles, and I'm a believer in Christ. And I look at it, and I've got a lot of doubts whether it was really a miracle or not. How many's noticed that? But I'm telling you what, when Jesus divided the fish, maybe I didn't say that right a while ago, but and the bread, the thing is, even his enemies could not deny a real miracle had happened. Think of this scripture. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, what do we? For this man doeth many miracles. They admitted that he did those miracles. If we let him those alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away our place and nation. Another way Jesus illustrated or demonstrated he was God, he forgave sins. Do you remember when they let the paralytic man down through the roof, tore the roof off? The first thing Jesus did when he looked at him, when his teaching was interrupted, he said, your sins be forgiven you. I'm telling you what, when Jesus said that, he stirred up a hornet's nest. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven thee. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why did this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? I've often said they had their facts right, but their conclusion wrong. Their fact is correct. Only God can forgive sin. But their conclusion was wrong. They concluded Jesus was just a man. If they only realized how close they were. The fact is right. Only God can forgive sin. What does that mean? It means Jesus was demonstrating he was God. I'm glad he is, because he said that to me one day. He said, your sins be forgiven you. Did you know just a normal man can't do that? But you can if you're God. He was demonstrating that he was God. Another way Jesus demonstrated he was God, he arose from the dead. Other folks were raised from the dead by the power of God. They died again. We have some of those rare. We can talk about Enoch and those. But Jesus arose not by the power of another, but by his own power, the power of God. Amen. Aren't you glad he rose from the dead? That separates him from all other men. You've heard it so often. Muhammad got buried. Buddha, buried. You name the religious man, buried. But Jesus' tomb is empty because he's more than a man. He's God. And last of all, I want to tell you the way Jesus continues to demonstrate that he is God is that he changes lives. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. What about that Saul? Went to the high priest and got letters to leave Jerusalem, go to Damascus and get some more of those of that way, the Christians, and bind them up and take them back to Jerusalem for trials and persecutions. I mean, he had vengeance in his heart. He was a wicked man, torturing folks. But right before he got to Damascus, a light shone from heaven, and Saul fell down, and a voice spoke, called his name, "Saul, why persecutest thou me?" Saul said, "Who art thou, Lord?" And Jesus said, "I am Jesus, whom you persecuted. Isn't it hard for you to kick against the pricks?" What did Saul do? He said, "Lord, what will thou have me to do?" Went to Damascus to arrest and persecute Christians. But when he got there, he preached the gospel to them. What a drastic change. What an immediate change. What a complete change. Only God can make a change like that. If you're here tonight, he can change your life too, because he's more than just a man. He is God himself. Hallelujah. Sometimes, and would you come, music? I'm not asking you to have the same experience I do. But when I begin to contemplate these things, it makes it different when I pray. I'll tell you what I do many times when I pray. I just say, "Jesus, you are the Son of God." I just feel that all through me. Hallelujah. Because when I say you are the Son of God, I'm saying you're the one that can speak to wind and wave. You're the one that can heal the sick and raise the dead. You're the one that can forgive sin. You have all power in heaven and in earth. Jesus. Would you join me even before we stand? Would you lift your hand towards heaven and begin to worship and say, "Jesus, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Would you go ahead and do it? Do it again. "I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the living God. You're not a liar. You're not a lunatic. You're not a legend. You are Lord and Master, the Lord of this universe, Creator God, Redeemer God, Mighty God." Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Would you stand across the building? Hallelujah. He's Lord. Hallelujah. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. I'm going to invite the whole church to come in a moment. If you're here and you've not yet bowed your heart and surrendered your heart to Jesus as Lord and made him Lord and Savior of your life, I'd like to invite you to come when folks come to pray. Maybe you've got a storm going on in your heart. You can talk to men and we can try to help a little bit, but only Jesus can calm that storm of your heart. If you've got sin tonight, blackness, things that you don't even want to share or talk about, because he's God, if you'll ask him, he can say, "Thy sins be forgiven thee." Oh, because he's the Son of God, he can change our lives. Will you come and pray, church? And if you need special help from the Lord, why don't you just come and begin to call out to the Son of God tonight and believe that he'll help, he'll touch, he'll enable. Jesus, thou art the Son of God. Jesus, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the Son of the living God. Son of God.
There's just something about that name.
Are you here? You'd like to surrender to the Lord tonight. Tonight,
Jesus,
He's the Son of God.
Jesus,
He's the Son of God.
Jesus, let all heaven,
hallelujah,
and earth,
hallelujah,
proclaim,
hallelujah. He'll calm the troubled waters of your soul.
King,
give it to the Son of God. Give it to the Son of God.
Will all pass away.
Bow to the Lord Jesus.
But there's something about that.
Proclaim Him Master and Lord. Proclaim Him Lord of your life.
Jesus.
I need you, Jesus.